Hi, this is Michelle Bosch, and I'm the co-creator of the Land Profit Generator Program. And if you're looking to scale your real estate investment business and be location independent, you definitely need to listen to Real Estate Journeys with my very good friend, Matthew Butzel.
This is Real Estate Journeys, episode 102.
Welcome to Real Estate Journeys, here to help you build your cash-flowing real estate empire that you've been dreaming of. This is about real estate investors who have escaped the soul-crushing 9-to-5 rat race by taking action, leveraging relationships, and gaining the financial independence. It's time to stop making excuses and get the insight and knowledge you need to become a successful real estate investor. This is your host, Matthew Butzel.
All right, everybody, welcome Michelle Bosch to the show. Michelle, welcome.
Thank you so much, Matthew, for having me. It's an honor being here with you today.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on. So Michelle is doing some very big things. I love her adventurous spirit. She's from Honduras. She's got some great things going for her. Michelle, can you give us a little bit of a background? You're an immigrant coming to the United States. You want to get into real estate. You know, it's very easy for people to say, listen, I have no money. I don't know anybody. I have no connections. But yet here you are coming to the States, crushing it, killing it, and building out an extensive portfolio. Can you give people a little bit of a background on how you went about starting to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am originally from Honduras, and I came here back in 1995 with, you know, pretty much my husband is also not from here. He's also an immigrant from Germany. And he came here 2 years later, 1997. But we both came here with, you know, two suitcases and hearts full of dreams. And we came to study, you know, I was getting my undergrad, he was getting his master's degree. We finished school, we got jobs. We got jobs that were able to sponsor our green cards, which was very important for us, you know, not being from here. And quickly we realized that we absolutely hated it, you know, that everyone prepares you for that great education. And then you get this, what seems to be this fantastic, you know, corporate job where, you know, with both of us being from different countries, you get 2 weeks of vacation, 100% travel. Like, I kid you not, from Monday to Friday, sometimes even, you know, having to leave on Sunday if your client, you know, is somewhere in the East Coast and we were on the West Coast and so on and so forth. But we couldn't leave those jobs, you know, we couldn't leave those jobs because those were our tickets to our green card, to our permanent residency here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. But we knew that we needed to look, you know, for something else, that we needed to, by the time that green card would come, that we needed to have started something like some sort of a side hustle. And, you know, my family back home had purchased a piece of real estate, commercial real estate. And I knew that that had paid, you know, really well for my family to have made that decision. And so we started looking into real estate. And of course, like everyone else, you know, we started looking into houses and possibly, you know, rehabbing a junker. And we realized that we were way over our heads in terms of we didn't know anything about how to estimate repairs on, you know, on flooring, on a kitchen, on roofs. You had to deal with contractors and then figuring out, you know, how are we going to sell it? And oh my gosh, and we needed to line up financing for that. And it's not like we had bad credit. We just had no credit because we were not from here. Mm-hmm. And so we stumbled into something here in the U.S. that I think it's an immigrant advantage, number one, to not be scared of hard work because you want to create a better world than the one that you left. And number two, you see opportunities that perhaps others don't see. And so we stumbled upon a concept called tax liens and tax deeds, which is not what we do, but that was kind of like our opening door to what we did after, which is the fact that here in the U.S., you know, people can lose their properties to delinquent taxes. This is something that is unheard of, you know, outside of the U.S., at least not in Germany and not in Honduras. There's no way you're going to lose your private property over, you know, over non-payment of taxes, of property taxes. And so we went to an auction and we bid, we got royally outbid, you know, on properties on a tax deed auction where they actually auction the property off. But I'm like, these people are already giving up on paying their taxes long before the property gets to auction. You know, why don't we try to contact these people way before? And so that's how we started. And what we found out is that a lot of the
people. How did you go about finding them? How did you go about finding them?
We would send them letters. We send them letters. We have actually developed now in a what we call our proven performance letter over the years. We've split tested and come up with something that gives us amazing conversions in terms of number of letters that we send. For every 750 to 1,000 letters, we get anywhere between 6% and 15% callback. And then for every maybe 100 offers, 3 deals. And our spreads in the land are anywhere between, I would say, $5,000 and $20,000. That's a typical spread. And of course, if you start looking for higher priced properties, infill lots and so on, it can be higher than that for sure. But that's kind of how we started with land. And for us, it was a natural thing because we didn't have to deal with, with the tenants. We didn't have to deal with contractors with trying to figure out how to rehab a house or how to flip it. Or we didn't have to line up any private money because we were able to, purchase this land for anywhere between 5 to 25 cents on the dollar. Or even option it. We don't even have to buy it. We can option it or double escrow or so on and so forth. So that's kind of like how we started in real estate in a gap, in my opinion, in the market, in a gap that nobody cares to look at and therefore has very little competition. Like anyone thinks about real estate and the last thing they think about is a chunk of dirt, pretty much. Mm-hmm. We focused, to this day in three types of properties, info lots, properties in the outskirts of cities, basically in the paths of growth, and also recreational property. So we kept on doing that, and as a side hustle, eventually, we had our green cards. We, gave our 2 weeks, which ended up being a few months, because we were both in projects. And we grew that from, 60 deals to 100 deals. And then we were with the situation where we didn't have jobs anymore, but we were working again 80 hours. And we're like, okay, what's the point here? Are we going to shrink so that we can have a wonderful lifestyle and we can have the 3-4 weeks of vacation that we want to go visit our family overseas or what? And we decided that instead of shrinking, we were going to grow. And so we grew that land business to selling 200 pieces of land each quarter at an auction. And we've done, over 4,000 deals. We, at some point, created over $70,000 in passive cash flow from land. And then 2008, 2009 came around and we were sitting, contrary to many people who had been losing their shirts off, we were sitting in quite a bit of liquidity from the land, in the form of cash flow, because we can sell it using seller financing. That's how we had notes from it. Or for cash profits, just quick flips. And so we had quite a bit of liquidity, and 2009 came around, Phoenix was for sale. We went and purchased single family homes. We knew a little bit more about real estate. We had a crew, we renovated those, we rented those, and we continued to hold them, for buy. We're pretty much after the passive cash flow, The quick cash is amazing, but our end goal has always been what we call in our house, we call it forever cash. We have one-time cash, which is exchanging ours for dollars. A flip is no different than a job. It's a one-time cash situation. Temporary cash, which are our notes. Our notes eventually come to an end. People pay off the land. And even though they're 5, 10, 15-year notes, it'll come to an end. And so for us, the logical next step was to, okay, let's look at improved property. And we went into single family homes. And then back in 2016, we're like, okay, how can we turbocharge this? And we started looking at large multifamily. We purchased our first 94 units in Louisiana, then 96 units in North Carolina, and then 147 units in Oklahoma City. And we have, just under 400 units right now. And in one of those, like I was telling you earlier, we're almost at full circle. But the goal has always been this, this passive cash flow, this forever cash at the end of the rainbow.
Did you put an actual number up for yourselves? I mean, you don't have to tell us, but do you have an end goal?
We do, in that we have kind of broken it out into 3 stages for ourselves. We have what we call our security plan. And that's, the minimum that you need to live, in order to still somewhat have a comfortable life, and all coming from passive cash flow. And we were able to accomplish that with our land very quickly. Actually, our security and comfort plan, we were able to accomplish very, very quickly, just, with land. But that was going to come to an end. So we had to replace that security and comfort, you know, levels eventually with single family homes. And now we're working on what we call our luxury level, you know, and it's different for everyone. I believe that there is nothing wrong with ambitious goals as long as you're enjoying the ride. If I feel that I'm out of my core stability, that my health is at a, you know, at a, is going bad, or my relationship with, you know, my parenting relationship with my daughter is not there, or with my husband, you know, we have now a marriage of 18 years. Our lifetime collaboration and partnership has been the foundation of what we've created, you know, in terms of material wealth through real estate. So if at any point, you know, you have one thing or one category of your life really taking over such that the others are suffering, I don't consider that really success, at least for me. You know what I mean? So, so there is a number, there is a, you know, a place where I'm like, but will we continue doing real estate, Matt? Probably I will probably continue doing real estate until I die. We absolutely love real estate, you know? So, Sophia knows, you know, all about, you know, money.
Sophia is your daughter. Cash flow.
Yeah, she's my daughter. She Sophia. Knows about, you know, rent collection. And I'm like, okay, it's the beginning of the month. Rent is due. And so on and so forth. And she sees that, you know, that affords us so much freedom of time when it comes to being able to participate in, you know, activities at her school. And, you know, almost always Jack is the only dad, you know, participating in activities in school, because even though, you know, her peers, you know, she goes to a private Episcopalian school here now in Phoenix. You know, the parents are well off, you know, they're doctors, heads of, you know, neurosurgery here in Phoenix, or, you know, hospitals or lawyers.
Working 80, really 90 hours a week. Accomplished.
Absolutely.
Kind of what I've taken from your message thus far is, you know, it's about lifestyle and really kind of like what you want. And first off, I want to commend you for, you know, coming to America and really being open and receptive. And I think a lot of people aren't aware of that side, right? Like a lot of Americans, we have a lot of privileges that we're not necessarily aware of. And there are opportunities out there. And I think one of the things beautiful that if you are a creative real estate investor, usually those are the successful ones, because you have to be creative. And the more open-minded you are, you're able to attract better deals, attract more capital. And, you know, you're just more creative and empathetic towards life. And I just love that. So I commend you for that.
Thank you.
And I think it's important, because when a lot of people hear real estate investing as well, like real estate investing is not for everybody, right? And so when you hear like note investing and land investing, people don't even think these things. And what I always try and tell people is, you know, just get started. You know, there's a million different ways to work out, right? You can do P90X, you can run, you can do marathons, all these different things, but you never know until you really get started. So you can start in land investing, you can go to notes, you can go to single family homes, you can sell all those, and now you can transition to multifamily. You can go into multifamily or do whatever.
There's I always say that there's nothing wrong in having faith in the small. You know, you want to have these dreams of, you know, of financial independence that are grand. But if you're not willing to even have faith in the small, I would say that it's going to be very hard to make those big grand dreams come true. And, you know, because even for us, you know, both my husband and I, you know, had MBAs, and it was hard to say, oh my gosh, we cannot even figure out how to flip them home. We have to go one step back to even more simplicity in order to be able to figure it out. But after 4,000 deals, let me tell you, you know, that repetition, that scale gives you so much mastery, not just of that one asset class, but how to build businesses, how to build teams, how to build systems, processes, you know, invest in CRMs, you know, on those four pillars of business of your why, your who, your what, and your how. You become an amazing entrepreneur in the process, you know, and it can start with something small. It sculpts your spirit. It sculpts your capability, your confidence to go out there and then start iterating in zeros, how we like to call it, you know what I mean? In terms of like growth.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. It just starts somewhere, you know, go figure out an asset class that you resonate with And what I'm going to say is that focus, because there are so many shiny objects out there. In terms of real estate, there's so many things that you can do where you can make money. But at the end of the day, you know, if you don't focus on one thing and make that the main thing, you never will get mastery, because you'll always be like...
The jack of all trades.
Yeah, a jack of all trades. And we always say, you know, you want to get in line and stay in line. Because if you've ever gone to Las Vegas and you go to the buffet there and, you know, you're at the end of the line and you see an amazing meal ahead of you. And then there's this other line and that looks like, oh my gosh, you know, the food over there looks amazing as well. And you go to the back of that line and soon enough you look at the next aisle over, that food looks even more amazing. And you're always at the back of the line, you know, instead of moving forward with one thing. Mm-hmm. So that ability for us to focus gave us the opportunity to really, you know, simplify, to multiply, if you simplify in terms of like, this is the one property that I specialize or the three properties that I specialize, and anything that didn't fit that box, you know, we didn't look at. But as a result of that focus, we were able to really, really scale that to then move on to the, you know, to the next asset class and the next asset class. And that's pretty much even like in multifamily as well. You know, we focus on one particular, you know, type of property, and it doesn't fit that, you know, just so that I can say that I own X percentage of 2,000 or 4,000 doors. I, you know what I mean? It doesn't fit our model. So let's just, you know, stick with that. And it requires a lot of discipline, because there's strategy. So many things out there that look sexy and attractive. But at the end of the day, I always think about it like this. Maybe it's because I'm a mom. I always think of it like, you know, all those shiny things are like getting on a carousel. You go for an amazing ride in the carousel, but you get off the carousel and you're in the exact same spot. Mm-hmm. So focus on the one thing and don't look at the shiny objects out there and everything else. Look at something that you resonate with, that you feel, you know, confident, capable of doing. And that also stretches you a bit, because...
Yeah.
It needs to scare you a little bit. It needs to excite you and scare you a little bit at the same time.
It's to piggyback off of that, you know, it's like there's all these opportunities out there right there. And, you know, I think when you start speaking to other investors and you start learning yourself about investing in general, most people are thinking with the end goal in mind, right? Like reverse engineering. So example, in multifamily, like you're thinking, okay, we want a 3 to 5 year hold period. We're not going in saying, we want a cash flowing property in a good area. And hey, if year 3 is good, we're going to let it ride until the recession. We're going to sell on year 12. Like, we're already thinking as far as our exit strategy is concerned. So kind of like what you're saying is, like, in a sense, like you're reverse engineering your brain. So you're thinking like, okay, we have this job. We got all these properties. We have this like quick fix and flip. We're getting some money. But what do we really want? You know, we want lifestyle. We want some passive income. And we want to, like, you know, live well with our child and have, you know, our base needs met, and then we have our luxury lifestyle. So that was like your dream. You had that in mind. So you have a number to shoot for. So a lot of people will have different numbers. Some people might have units. You know, dreams and stuff will change, but you'll never really know until you get into the game. And I think that's really important, you know, kind of what you're saying, is that most people have analysis by paralysis, right? And so I wanted to ask you, how did you go about educating yourself? So you came to this country, you did all this stuff. You didn't mention anything about going to business school for real estate. You didn't mention anything about mentors. You didn't mention Google.
Went to business school. My background is in finance. Jax is in marketing and finance as well. They're teaching you to become part of a system, to become part of, you know. The goal of many of my peers, you know, here in Thunderbird in Phoenix, when I did my MBA, was to work for a big multinational, to become the country manager for one of the big multinationals, you know, elsewhere, you know, in the world. And so, I remember we were already looking at land, and I was already experimenting. We had already had, you know, small successes. You know, the carrot was big enough that we would try to continue pursuing it and try to figure it out. And we didn't have anyone to teach us really from a real estate standpoint. It took us 3 years to really perfect our methodology to then, you know, have everything in its place to really scale.
Yeah.
And then when it came to multifamily is a completely different animal. There, what we did is we went ahead and partnered with someone. We did a lot of the fundraising and we learned from this gentleman. And, you know, and even in terms of operating and efficiencies and the actual management of the property, because one thing is the acquisition. And even though that could sound like insurmountable to someone, you know, going out there and raising, you know, $2, $3, $4, $5 million, really that is nothing to the work of actually optimizing that property.
Yeah.
And so
putting the business plan into action.
Yeah. So we are big believers in mentors. And mentors can collapse time for you. Not that there's shortcuts. There really is no shortcut to hard work, but they definitely walk you, you know, away from landmines and, you know, costly mistakes that will cost you money, time. So I'm a true believer of mentors. If I would have had someone that could have mentored me in the land space, we would have paid for it, but there was no one, or at least we didn't find anyone, you know? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to multifamily, especially if you're syndicating, you know, we syndicated those very first two deals. And, you know, you're using someone else's money. And if you don't feel more responsibility for someone else's money than yours, you shouldn't be syndicated to begin with. Yeah, you know what I mean? Because this is people's lives and life savings.
And I think it's also important too, like when people, you know, you hear these things, like they're like catchphrases, right? You add value, mentorship. And when you're on, I'll say on the other side and you're like, well, okay, like who's a mentor? Like, will you be my mentor? Like people ask me to be their mentor, but you know, it's like, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? It's like people are busy, right? And so how would you recommend people go about finding a mentor? Because I think what people don't realize is a mentor doesn't necessarily have to be like a formal, there are paid formal mentorships, but it could be somebody that has been in the industry that you touch base with, and maybe you hire them hourly, or maybe they just, they're your sounding board. How would you go about finding a mentor?
Yeah. So I'm going to say that the number one investment that you need to do is in yourself, because how we found this gentleman was by us willing to invest in ourselves in a mastermind, $25,000 a year, in order for us to have access to a different caliber of individual, you know, an investor.
How did you feel about spending that money at first when you heard $25,000?
Because we have already invested in ourselves, you know, and 50 grand in an MBA, and it leaves you with, you know, not much. For us, it was, yes, it's a big cash outlay, I'm not going to say, but I know that I am a person that I'm accountable for the outcomes that I want to get out of anything. So I know that if I invest in that we are able to see a return on our investment, whether it be in pure monetary, you know, black and white, or in some transformational way, as a result of me making that investment, it has allowed me as a person to grow and become a better investor, a better entrepreneur, a better person. So I look at it from that perspective. And so we invested in, that's how we met this, you know, this amazing gentleman. And he was willing to, you know, partner with us. He had found the deal. We put $180,000 of our own money as escrow deposit, which we almost lost in negotiations, you know, at the beginning. So you have to have skin in the deal. Like you cannot come to someone and basically have nothing to contribute basically to that relationship or to that partnership. There's something of value. There's something that, you know, that you bring, a genius that you bring, that, you know, that makes that collaboration possible. And an unbeatable team, you know, if you want to call it. But you need to have something that you bring to that relationship for sure. Yeah,
and I think a lot of times too, like, you know, when you think of business and when you're thinking of real estate investing, like I created a free PDF for 50 tips for people how they can break into the industry. And what they don't realize is with people in larger multifamily syndications, right? I mean, people need video editors, videographers, underwriters, capital raisers, attorneys, CPAs, you know, property managers, the list goes on and on and on. So if you can fill one of those voids, or like example, there's a very famous gentleman in multifamily, and I was on his website today and I was looking through some of the things. He had like broken links for like people's websites on like, you know, if you post for their podcast episode or like their podcast episode, you click on it and then it's like, there's this click to tweet and it kind of looked like janky and looked weird. And I clicked on some other ones like, oh, this is all broken. I was like, someone should fix this. I mean, I'm not going to, I could point it out to him, but I'm saying like that's an in for people to be like, hey, listen, I'm a SEO guy. I can help you fix that. I can help you with some digital marketing. By the way, next thing you know, after a year, you've built some relationships. Maybe you join on the limited partner side, GP side. I don't know, but there's definitely a way to get into the door. I love it. I love, and I also love your, I could feel your entrepreneurial hunger and your spirit. And do you think that could be taught, your hunger and your entrepreneurship?
I'm going to go ahead and say that it can be. It can be if you are able to elicit in a person their bigger why. You know what I mean? Mm. And what I mean by a bigger why is not just the why of, at a tactical or strategic level, but much more at a spiritual level. When you know that you're here to do something amazing, you know, for the world and live this a better place and create a legacy for family, you know, for my next generation, you know, of a woman, because it happens to be a daughter, yeah. You know, to stand on my shoulders and of my delusional confidence, my capabilities, you know, my courage, that why excites me and it keeps me humble and it keeps me wanting to continue to learn, you know, the next big thing. Mm-hmm. Because I don't see it as a just, you know, for me to retire till the end of my days and have a comfortable life. But I'm looking at Sophia's generation, you know, at her kids and even the kids of her kids. And I think if we are able to elicit that, you know, that bigger why in her, we are going to be able to, you know, keep that flame of hunger alive for her, especially now that she's not growing up with the same complexities of scarcity that, you know, that I had or that my husband had and we grew up with. We kind of like sometimes have to artificially create those for her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those, you know, because in the beginning, if you think about it, you know, we're all in complexities of scarcity of like not enough time, not enough money, you know, not enough resources and so on and so forth. And now we're in the incredible situation of complexities of abundance where like there's so many opportunities. How do you keep your blinders on, yeah. You know, and continue that focus and how can we reach, you know, the next ceiling of complexity and so on and so forth. So I think it can be taught. I really do believe so. It's like that entrepreneurial bug of curiosity mixed with hunger, mixed with you exercising a little bit of courage and something that scares you, mixed with, oh my God, how does this fit in the bigger role of life, you know?
I think when I initially asked you that question, I was thinking in my mind, no, I don't think it can be taught. But then after, you know, hearing your answer and hearing you talk, you know what I realize is that you are a trailblazer. You know, you show people, right? And you give people a beacon. And if you see somebody then who's done it, you're more likely to kind of keep pushing through. I think there's like two types of entrepreneurs. Right? I definitely think it can be taught. But I also think there's the people that forge their path, right? And I think a lot of times now you see on Instagram of like entrepreneur and all these things and people are like, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur, but they start something and they're 3 weeks into it and they give up, right? Going back to the shiny object syndrome because they don't have people to show them the true way, right? They're like, oh, I'm trying to be like a real estate agent or investor, but I don't have like direction, right? Going back to like the focus, like what do I want? What's my why? Like, do I want to be like this guy? Do I want to be like this guy? Do I want to be like this guy? I don't really know. So I think when people can see that, right? Or like more developed countries like America, more entrepreneurship, you see people and you can compare and you can look and be like, okay, like you can do that. But when you come to like Asia and stuff and there's more bureaucracy and all this stuff, like people aren't as entrepreneurial because they haven't seen it and they don't think as creatively. So immigrants that are coming to the United States are like, okay, this is land of opportunity. Like you straight up believe it. Like you believe it as opposed to somebody, you believe or you
it
know
is
like
100% here and alive.
Yeah, as opposed to somebody who has been caught up in the system and thinks like, okay, I want to go get my MBA to be a mid CEO or at a company, and you're like, yo, I'm here to grind. Like, I'm here to do this. And I think that's very admirable. And I think once you do that and people hear your story and your message, it really resonates with people. And they think, okay, and your daughter that's hearing this is like, well, my mom did it, so I know it's possible. As opposed to somebody who's Betty Jo down the street and thinks like, well, my mom says like, you know, somebody should pay for my college and I can't do this and we can't do that. And it's just like, it's just resonated. So I really commend you for, being a trailblazer. That's what you are. You're a trailblazer.
Thank you very much. I have never been described like this. So thank you.
No, you're a trailblazer. I just thought of that. I was like, she's a trailblazer. That's what you are. I love it. Well, very cool. I want to transition and close it out with the three closing questions here.
Yeah.
First question is, what is your favorite book to regift?
Okay. So I have a couple. I'm going to be a little bit selfish here. We have a book called Forever Cash, and it's basically our financial philosophy. And that is one book that I think I have, you know, not just sold, you know, in a funnel for marketing purposes, because we also now teach our, you know, our land methodology, but that I will gift to friends, to dear friends, you know, because I see them grinding and I see them not having the freedoms that they could be having. Yeah. So that's one. And then when it comes to, you know, peers, the other entrepreneurs, I love gifting The Pumpkin Plan from Mike Michalowicz. And The Pumpkin Plan is all an exercise and focus. Basically, he talks about, you know, if you want to create the award-winning pumpkin, you know, you cut all resources to all little pumpkins and you focus on that one pumpkin. You know, if you want to create that trophy pumpkin, you can't just have the nutrients and everything, you know, divided into these other vines and into all these other smaller pumpkins, but rather have all resources going to that one pumpkin. Yeah. So it's an exercise of and constantly pruning and constantly saying no, you know, having kind of like an opportunity filter when it comes to being an entrepreneur and saying no to stuff that doesn't align with what you're already doing. Yeah. Assuming that what you're already doing is the target, that you've identified that that's where you're going for, you know, that that's what excites you. And so, so those two books I would say are, you know, two that I love to regift. And if you're an entrepreneur, I think this is, we all suffer. It's like an epidemic of, you know, of shiny object syndrome and just from getting bored, you know. A business is supposed to be boring and predictable. At the end of the day, that's what we're all going for, you know? It's for a business that is boring and predictable that spits out cash no matter what. But the moment that it becomes boring, you know, as entrepreneurs, we get bored and we want to go and try other things. So it's really hard. It's almost like you have to create for yourself a framework, you know, of a path, of a lane, and leave enough surprise and magic inside, but still have kind of like those bumper pads when you go bowling. So within those bumper pads, you have a little bit of diversity. Otherwise, yeah, it should excite you as well. You know what I mean? So it can't just be completely boring, but create some kind of bumper pads, you know, in your lane, whatever your lane is.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Second question is, what is a pain point or weakness you face right now in your business?
Okay, so right now in our business, in both our investing and in our educational business, you know, because we teach now people how to buy and sell land. You know, we have a home study course, it's called the Land Profit Generator, and we offer coaching and mentorship and so on and so forth. So in that business and in my investing business on the multifamily side, we have reached a ceiling of complexity where we need to continue to invest and lay the infrastructure of team and software to get us to the next level. We already have that, you know, at the level that we were, and it was good for a good, I would say, 5 years, but we're at that point where we need to basically iterate again and you know, invest in software and invest in CRM and systems that are, and in team, and not just in bringing new team into our organization, but actually developing our existing ones into leaders, you know. That's one thing that I wish I would have done so much earlier, even, you know, when I started the land business and we decided to grow, you know, our our land auctions and so on. You know, we hired a team. We were like a team of 30. And my focus wasn't on necessarily developing them as leaders, you know, but on just them knowing this part of the process really well and executing versus developing them as leaders. So we're at that next level of, you know, of ceiling of complexity, of breaking through that. I would say that that's, we're in the wonderful position again of complexities of abundance, of having, you know, this level of success and growth. In order to continue, we need to re-engineer the next level of growth.
Love it, love it, love it. All right, third and final question is, if you were to live abroad anywhere for 1 year, where would you live and why?
Okay, so I'm going to give you two spots. One of them is not really abroad, but I feel it is. We have been going to Hawaii, to the island of Maui, for the last 15 years. And there is something so special about that island. And it's not necessarily the five-star resort lifestyle. It is an energy that I know sounds a little bit woo-woo, but it is almost something that, you know, welcomes you, takes you in, nurtures you, takes out all your stress, and kind of like sends you back to the mainland completely refreshed, renewed. And it's not because you're taking time off and you're at play and whatever. There is something special in those islands, and I cannot necessarily articulated in words. It has to be felt. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like creativity completely opens up.
What's the second one?
The second one is Paris. We love going to Paris. We have been going now to Paris for the last 4 years, and we are actually considering buying an apartment there and basically spending our summers there. It's such a grand city, and I know that, yeah, customer service is not always there, but it's nowhere in Europe, really. My husband's from Germany, and Germans are not any better in customer service, but it is such a grand city when it comes to arts, to just this bohemian lifestyle. Mm-hmm. We would definitely, I think in the future, we would. And it would be close enough such that, you know, we can have that as our, like, as our main station point. And then my daughter always loves going to Germany to visit her grandmother and her grandfather. Mm-hmm. And we could have them over, you know, in Paris. Yep. Or we could go there. But, and it would allow us also to escape the brutal heat here in Phoenix. We have now been in Phoenix since 1999. So that's a lot of summers. And from June all the way to mid-September, it can get brutal. So we could at least escape, you know, 2.5 months of the year. It would be fantastic. It would be like reverse snowboarding.
There you go. Very cool. Michelle, what's a place people can best find you at?
Yes. You can go to michellebosch.com. You can also find me on Instagram, Michelle Bosch Official, Michelle Bosch on Facebook. We have an amazing community of land flippers in Facebook called the Land Profit Generator Real Estate Investing Group. It's about 8,000 people, incredibly generous with their knowledge, with their time, and helping a beginning investor that speaks to you. If not, just go to my website if you're interested in multifamily investing. Like I said, I have this desire of, and now I have the word for it, of being a trailblazer.
You are.
For other women, you know, for other women. And you can also tune in to my Inflow podcast, which is also a podcast, you know, dedicated to women. And it's not just about real estate, but it's also about how do we find grace and ease in our daily life. I'm all about that. So, and it's with real actionable content that can help you make money when it comes to real estate, and it's exclusively for ladies. But I have a lot of guys that listen to it that love the message as well. So hey, if you're a guy, you can listen to it as well. My husband and I also co-host the Forever Cash podcast. I mean, so many places, but if you go to michellebosch.com, you can find everything else.
All right, I'll make sure to include that in the show notes. Well, Michelle, I thank you very much for being on the show. I know your message will resonate with a lot of people out there. Thank you very much. We'll catch you on the next go around.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I hope you guys got some tremendous value there from it. But if you guys are looking to take your real estate career to the next level and looking to partner with us on your next real estate deal, please head on over to www.matthewbaltzell.com and sign up for the newsletter, and you'll get our latest deal flows and our up-to-date real estate investing information, tidbits, and tips there for you. All right, guys. Catch you on the next go around. Peace.